Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
2 Kings chapter number 1, and I would love to read the entire chapter, but for the sake of time, I want to go down, let's go down to verse number 9. The Bible says, "And the king sent unto him a captain of 50 and his 50, and he went with up to him and said, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king hath said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of the 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Also again he sent unto him another captain of 50 with his 50. And he answered and said unto him, O man of God, thus hath the king said, Come down quickly. The first guy said, Come down. The second one said, Get down here right now. I'm using Alabama English there. He said, Get down now. We're tired of fooling with you. Get down now. Come down now. Elijah answered and said unto him, If I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And the fire of God came down from heaven and consumed him and his 50. And he sent another captain of the third 50 and his 50. And the third captain of the 50 went up and came and fell on his knees before Elijah. This guy was no fool. He didn't go to the foot of the hill and holler up and demand for Elijah to come down. He went up the hill and fell on his knees and started saying, Don't kill me and my men. Don't kill me and my men. He didn't say anything about what the king had said. He didn't say come down. He didn't say none of that stuff. He had said, don't kill me. Men learn from others' mistakes, and that's a good thing to do. He said, he fell on his face before Elijah and besought him and said unto him, O man of God, I pray thee, let my life and the life of these 50 thy servants be precious in their sight. Behold, there came fire down from heaven and burn up the two captains of the former 50s with their 50s. Therefore, let my life now be precious in thy sight. And the angel of the Lord said unto Elijah, Go down with him and be not afraid. And he arose and went down with him unto the king. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, we do thank you for the privilege you've given me to stand and to try to preach the word. Tonight I pray that you, through the Spirit of God, would challenge and encourage your people in the days that we live in to remain faithful and to remain fervent in the cause of the Lord. Lord, we live in a day where Satan is saying, come down. And Father, I pray that you would give us the boldness to stand and to be what we ought to be in these last days. Now, Father, just have your will in your way. We ask all these things in your Son's name. Amen. I want to preach tonight on come down. Well, actually, I want to preach on come down and go down. But I want to look at it in two, three different ways tonight. And I hope that I can be a challenge and a blessing to you. I want to set the text. The king, Ahaziah, had fallen down through a lattice from the upper chamber and it hit the ground. Many of the people that I read after said that he was probably in a drunken state. And that lattice, when he fell upon it, and it probably punctured him, maybe punctured his lung, maybe punctured another vital organ. Whatever the case may be, he fell from an upper chamber, and because of his fall, he became sick. And so he sent a messenger to the God of Ekron, Beelzebub, and he asked that God, he sent the message to that God, and he said, am I going to live or am I going to die? Well, that stirred the Lord up. And he sent an angel of the Lord to Elijah. And he said, get over there and tell those messengers, is it not because there's not a God in Israel that you're running off to Beelzebub to ask of his, to inquire of him about your state? He said, therefore you tell him, he will die and not live. I'll give you another little Alabama lingo. What Elijah said, he's double dead. He's going to die and he won't live. He's double dead because he inquired of the God of Beelzebub. And so Elijah went and he met the messengers and he sent them back. I love what happened when they got back. The king said, what kind of man was this? Describe him to me. And those messengers said, well, he's a hairy man. And he was girt with a girdle of iron around his loins. And said, and they stopped. The king stopped him and said, it's Elijah the Tishbite. I'm going to tell you something, guys. That man tormented Ahab and Jezebel. I want you to get 50 of the captives, 50 with 50 men, and go get that booger. Bring him to me, and we'll see how brave he's going to be. I don't know what I said. Did I say something real bad? Oh, okay. He was laughing at me. So I said, booger. Oh, that's typical Alabama English. I mean, booger's a booger's a booger. All right. See, he comes from North Alabama. He don't understand real Alabama. Well, the captain came up, and he looked up at the hill, and he said, Elijah, the king said, come down. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire fall out of heaven and consume you and your 50. And fire fell from heaven. And somebody went and told the king. He sent another messenger back, or another captain with his army back, and the same thing happened. Then he sent another one back, and when that one got there, he was respectful, and he had a little bit of humility about himself, and that's when the angel of the Lord said, go down with him. And Elijah must have been a little bit afraid, because he said, go down with him and be not afraid of him. And so Elijah went down. He went to the king and he told the king face to face exactly what God had said. He said, because you assault counsel from the God of Beelzebub, you'll die and not live. And then he went on his way. I want to say this. The devil has always demanded of God's people that they come down. That they come down or give in or surrender in their service of the king. He's always demanded that we compromise. He never will compromise, but he always demands that God's people compromise with evil and come down from their principles, come down from godly teaching, come down from the Word of God. He's constantly after the people of God. My question tonight to you is this. Have you come down? Have you given in? Have you surrendered to the devil, the flesh, and this world? If there ever was a day that God's people needed to stand firm on their heel and say, if I be a man of God, let fire come down before I come down off of my principles, I won't do it. I'll stand with a steadfast hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Come down. Let me ask you, first of all, have you come down in your Christian responsibility? And when I say that, I'm not talking about something deep, something spiritual. I'm talking about common sense, plain, everyday teaching of the Word of God. Do you pray like you used to? Do you pray and talk to the Lord like you used to? Do you pray for your neighbors? Do you pray for yourself? Or has the devil said, come down out of your prayer closet? And you said, yes, I think it's not worth much anymore. Might as well just come down. You come down in your Bible study. The Bible commands us that we study the Word, that we know the Word of God. How can you fight for the truth if you don't know what the truth is? We need to study the Word of God. But many have closed their book. because the world has said that Bible's not relevant anymore. That Bible, that's old-fashioned stuff. You don't need to waste your time doing that. If you come down and you're witnessing, and the Lord speaks to you about a soul that's lost and dying and going to hell, and He gives you the opportunity to be the witness, have you come down and said, no, I can't do it. He might ridicule me. He might make fun of me. These people over here laugh. I just don't really feel like getting into it. He's a contentious fella, and I just don't feel like getting into it. We give every excuse not to do our responsibility as Christians when the devil gives us, begins to roar and say, come down. There's no point in that. There's no point in that. You're going to lose a friend. You're going to become unpopular if you keep that witnessing up. We come down in our worship. I think sometimes that God would love to pour out a blessing upon this congregation more than He's done before. But there's one or two or three that come in with a haughty spirit, and they've come in with a prideful heart, and they can't worship with the rest of everybody, and it pulls the service down. Do we worship Him like we used to? I can remember a time Glenda and the boys would go off down to her mother's, and I'd just been called to preach. Well, I tell you, I want to go back to that day sometimes when I first was called, first felt the touch. There'd be times when I'd spend hours upon hours in my little study praying and worshiping God. Nobody there but me and Him. Everybody's gone. But when I felt His touch, and when I felt His Spirit moving, and my heart was yoked up with His heart, and it became real. Oh, friend, we need to be like that every day. Every day. Look for a place. Look for a reason to worship. We don't have to look far. The Bible's given us a whole book full of reasons to worship Him. Many people have come down from that. That's too old-fashioned. That might make my mascara run, even though I don't wear mascara. If I did and I got touched by the Lord, it might make my mascara run. So I just ain't going to do it. I'm too sophisticated. I am an ordained minister. I'm too sophisticated to get all tore up for Jesus. I'm going to tell you, friend, we've come a long ways. You look in this world today, most churches you see out there, not all of them, but most of them, wouldn't know the Holy Spirit if He was to walk in with a sign hanging off His neck saying, I'm the Holy Spirit. And if the Spirit of God was to move upon that church, it'd scare them slap to death because they don't know what worship is. They don't know what it is to really worship. Have you come down off of your giving? If you come down off your giving, I'm not just talking about your money, but if you ain't tithing, you're wrong, and you need to start your tithing. I want to say this. Have you come down from giving of yourself? One of the greatest things about the church of the living God is how God's people give to one another. Give, not just of our monies, but we give our hearts one to the other. If I know you're suffering, I'm going to hug your neck. If I know you're suffering, I'm going to hug your neck. Tell you I love you, and I'm going to pray for you. And then I'll do just that. I'll get on my knees and pray. Why? Because the church should be a giving bunch of people. Give our hearts one to the other because we love one another. Do you give of yourself like you used to? There was a time, has there been a time in your life when you used to love for the offering plate to be passed around for the joy of giving back to the Lord? You used to love to come and give of yourself in the Sunday school class. Participate in the discussions. Participate in the worship services with the singing, listening attentively to the preaching of the word. But now you're too busy to give yourself to those things anymore. Oh, friend, if we come down from our Christian responsibility. And there's a whole lot more of them that we could go over. But I've given you enough to make you know what I'm talking about. Have you come down from your Christian principles? The very things that God has given us to do. Are we doing them? Or are we not? The devil says, come down. Are you going to stand firm? Or are you going to come down? Too many Christians have come down. And I want to say this. I asked you this. Have you come down from your biblical convictions? You know, there used to be a day when God's people stood for something. There used to be a day when God's people would read God's word. And they'd listen to God's men. And they would develop definite, concrete, fervent convictions on what God was saying in His Word. I'm going to tell you, somebody asked me, what is my conviction? What God says in here to do, it's my conviction that I ought to be doing that with all of my heart. The things in here that God says not to do with the same fervency, I ought to stay away from those things and obey the Word of God. Our Christian convictions or nothing anymore. We got milquetoast preachers that stand up with no spine and preach a meaningless gospel. And dear friend, God's people don't know how to take a stand anymore. I remember, I don't know if there may be some in here that Southern Baptist or Southern Baptist bent, and I'll pray for you. But I remember, in my younger years when the Independent Baptists and the Southern Baptists they were eating each other up. They were just fussing and fighting back and forth, back and forth. One side, there was a strong conviction that we don't want people teaching things that aren't true in our seminaries. We don't want that. And if that's what you're going to have, we'll pull out. And we'll go independent. And then there was others in the Southern Baptist movement that says, you're being too dogmatic. And there's room to disagree. And if the liberals want to teach what they teach in college, you need to leave them alone and let them go. And the debate was going back and forth and back and forth on everything from whether the King James Version was the Word of God, to whether it was all right to dibble and dabble in these other versions. The battle was going on. But I have to tell you something. Back then, the men of God would take a stand and they would look you in the eye and tell you you were wrong. They'd look you. They took a stand. I remember my dad, he was a man of stands. Half of them, I don't know where he got them from. They ain't in the Bible, but he had them, and he stood on them, and he would argue with you till the cows come home that he was right and you were wrong. But I believe, dear friend, that time in the life of the church, when the church would stand for something, that's gone. We've quit standing, and we've started following the ways of the world. And I believe, dear friend, that there's more churches than not that have done that. And that's one of the reasons why America's in the mess it's been since from the late 50s all the way up till now. The devil has been working and the church has quit standing. And as a result, we find ourselves in a mess today. Right now, we're in a fight across America. The devil is demanding that we come down. The devil is out there crying and saying that abortion is moral. There's a moral aspect to abortion, and there is no morality in killing. And it's time that God's people stood up and said, no, abortion is not moral, it's immoral, and God says it's wrong, and I'm going to take a stand till Jesus comes. It's wrong. They're saying now that homosexuality is natural. It's just natural. And God's people are going, well, the devil says it's natural. It must be natural. The devil's hollering, come down. You Christians, it's 2015. Can't you get over that old-fashioned stuff? Can't you get over all that mess and see that homosexuality is natural? I want to stand and say to you, it's immoral, it's unnatural, and it's an abomination in the sight of God. And I'm going to stand on that till Jesus comes. There the devil is crying. Adultery is understandable sometimes. You remember when Bill Clinton was caught with, the commentators would come on TV and they would say, you know, it's understandable. Men in power and all this sort of stuff, the pressure's on them. And for years and years and years, they've taken it, they've taken their frustrations out by having affairs. And there's, you know, it's really, it's just the normal thing for men in power to do. And sometimes it can be, it's understandable. But God said it's wrong. And God said that we ought not to do it, no matter if we're in power or out of power. It's a sin in the eyes of Almighty God. And I'm going to stand on that until Jesus comes again. I heard on the television the other day that sometimes lying is necessary. And I thought about that. Sometimes lying is necessary. And I'm prone to agree with them in some ways. Glenda asked me the other day, does this dress make me look fat? And I said, I believe I hear the phone ringing. I'll be back. But they said on TV, sometimes lying is necessary. But God says it's wrong. God says it's a sin. And I don't want nobody lying to me. I'm not going to lie to nobody else. God says it's wrong. And I'm going to stand on that fact till my dying day. Now, I could go on down the list of a whole lot of other things that I'm going to stand on till my dying day. But I'll boil it down to this. I'm trying my best, the older I get, to search the Word of God, and what God says is wrong, I want to stay away from it. And what God says is right, I want to do it with all my heart and my might and my soul. I want to give Him all I got in this day where people are losing their conviction. I don't stand for nothing anymore. I'd rather have somebody, I have more respect for somebody to stand on something, even if it might be wrong. They at least have an opinion. They at least will stand for something. I don't have any respect. I didn't want to do this. I don't have any respect for the Joel Osteens of this world that won't stand for nothing, that try to get everybody just to get along. There's some things I can't get along with, preacher. Just can't do it. What fellowship has darkness with light? There's some things I just can't do because God said don't do it. And I don't intend to start now. But have you come down on your conviction? What you once stood for, are you still standing for? What you once read in the Word and believed with all your heart and determined that you were going to practice the Word of God in that regard, are you still practicing that conviction? God help us as a church and as a people to refuse to come down. Now in our story, we find where Jesus, or where the angel of the Lord did tell Elijah to go down. He wasn't talking about coming down off the things that I've been talking about. He simply meant get down off the mountain and go with the guy. And I got to thinking about this. Have you come down from your obedience to God? God said to Elijah, go with him. And Elijah, for a minute, his heart stopped. And he said, what? The angel of the Lord said, go with him. Be not afraid. Go with him. I want you to tell the king face to face what I told you to tell him. I don't want it to come to him through a messenger. I want you to tell him. And Elijah went down and delivered the message. He went down and delivered that message, even though he knew it could mean death. Those kings back then, they didn't like bearers of bad tidings. You come and tell them something they didn't want to hear, and you just might get your head cut off. And Elijah came to that point where he realized that he couldn't stay on his little hill and call fire down from heaven. But it was time now to go down and get in the fight. It was now time to be obedient to God and get your hands dirty if you have to get in the fight. He went and he boldly stood before the king. And he said, because you've inquired from the god Beelzebub, God said you're going to die and not live. And then Elijah turned and walked away. He had delivered his message. He had done his job. He had fought his battle. And he was obedient to God. God told Samuel to tell Saul that obedience was better than sacrifice. Obedience toward God. When God speaks, do you respond? When God speaks, do you say, yes, sir, and go? I was reading in this chapter where the Lord told, the angel of the Lord told Elijah to go and meet the messengers. And the next thing the Bible said after that period, the very next thing was, and he arose and went. Then here, the Lord said, go on down with him. Be not afraid. They might have been just a half a second's hesitancy in Elijah when he was thinking about the king able to kill him. But he also remembered that the angel just said, don't be afraid of him. So he got up and he left immediately. When God speaks, do you get up immediately and do what he says do? I like to hesitate. I like to sort of question God a little bit. Now, are you sure? Father, are you... Now, you're talking about me now. Are you sure you want me to do that? God, I don't know. That don't sound like me too much. Yeah, I like to hesitate sometimes till the Lord thumps me in the head and gives me a swift kick in the rear and says, get on out there. I like to hesitate. We ought not to be that way. We ought to be swift to obey what God says to do. This morning, when Brother Alton was preaching, he was going to different ones out in the audience. Stirred my heart. And then it began to teach my heart something. Show my heart something. I ought not ever be so hard-hearted that I can't weep with people that are going through hard times. I ought never become so hard-hearted that when the voice of the Lord speaks and says, your brother's hurting, why don't you go and tell him you love him and me not do that. I don't want to get that way in my heart. I want God to keep my heart soft and pliable where that when he speaks, I go and I do what he says do. What about you? Has it become common in your heart to hear the voice of the Lord but then not do it? You know what kind of blessing you're missing? What kind of blessing somebody else may be missing because you obeyed the Lord. I've delivered my heart tonight, and I hope something I've said is spoken to you. The church, out of all the churches in Newman, let us not fall. Let us not come down off of what we stand for. But let us be faithful to stand and to do what we know we ought to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'll ask the pianist and the fellows to come. Maybe something that I've touched on tonight has touched your heart and the Lord has spoken to you and you feel the need to come down and to talk to him. You may not do it here tonight in this service, but I beg you, somewhere before you go to bed tonight, get a hold of God and let him minister to your heart. We're in the perilous days. If we don't learn to stand and be obedient, we're going to have a hard time in the next little while until Jesus comes. So I pray that you just obey the Spirit of the Lord tonight. Do what he says, do. Let's stand while we sing. What is our number?
Page 375.
375.
Have thine own way. Potter, I am the clay.
Tell
rest on my